texasgardening.org. The next class will be April 14th, How to Fertilize and Water Trees. Deadline to register is April 10th. May 12th, How to Identify a Sick Tree and Determine if It is Safe. Deadline to register is May 8th. June 9th, How to Prune Trees and Landscape with Them. Deadline to register is June 5th. Hints from Heloise. Many companies offer ways to lower bills. Dear readers, if it seems that every time you open a bill there's another increase, it's essential that you review your bills carefully to see if there is a way to reduce them. Do call your electric, phone, and cable companies to find out if there's any way to lower your bill. Many companies offer cheaper plans that you might not know about. Often, we may be paying the bill for long-time services without realizing that new plans are available. Companies will negotiate with you rather than lose your business. Heloise. Carpet Indentations. Dear Heloise, we were rearranging the furniture in our living room, and I noticed that there were large indentations in the carpet where the furniture was. How can I remove them? Sheila in New Jersey. Dear Sheila, this is common. Here's how to remove them. Put an ice cube in each dent and let it melt slowly. Allow the moisture to stay on overnight. Blot up any leftover wet spots. Then use your fingers or a spoon to pull up the carpet fibers that haven't fluffed back up. Or you can fill a clean spray bottle with a bit of water. Spritz it on top of the indentations. Grab a hairdryer and blow warm air over the dampened spots. This heat helps wool and nylon carpets to rebound. Heloise. Tar on shoes? Dear readers, if you discover that you have black tar on the bottom and sides of rubber shoes, use these steps to get it all off. First, try to scrape off as much as you can with a disposable plastic knife. Don't damage the shoe area above the rubber. Next, scrub the areas with a tad of dishwashing detergent, geared for removing oil, along with warm water. When the tar is gone, rinse completely. You may have to repeat several times to get it all off. Heloise. What fabric care labels or symbols mean? Dear readers, if you are not clear about what the care label in your garments mean, go to the American Cleaning Institute's website, www.cleaninginstitute.org, to find an explanatory chart. Care labels, which can have written instructions or symbols, indicate whether garments need to be dry cleaned or can be washed. They also include information for washing, drying, bleaching, non-chlorine bleaching, and ironing. According to the Federal Trade Commission, dry clean only is a warning that the garment cannot be washed. Do read care labels before you purchase garments or launder them to get the best results. Heloise. Chocolate Tomato Soup Cake. Dear readers, this unusual combination really makes a great tasting cake. Use this easy recipe. Put an 18-ounce box of dry chocolate cake mix in a big bowl and add 1 10¾-ounce can of undiluted tomato soup, 1 teaspoon baking soda, and 2 eggs. Mix well. Then bake according to the cake mix directions. Heloise. Dear Abby, Passover host realizes she gets no thanks for her effort. Dear Abby, for the last 18 years, I have hosted the Passover Seder in my home. The same people come year after year. My 3 daughters come and always bring along their friends. It's a lot of work, but I always considered it our special night and was happy to host everyone. This year, after spending a week in the hospital following a heart problem, I had a bit of a revelation. I realized that not one of these people who for years have sat at my table, some live just down the street, picked up the phone to ask how I am or offer help. I also realized that once they left my house after the Seder, I never heard from any of them, not even in the form of a card. I'm conflicted about how to act in the future. I know that getting together is important to my daughters. I know that not having a lovely Seder will make me sad. But I also feel that the way I was treated is not right. Advice? Observant in Maine. Dear Observant, when I read your letter, my first instinct was to suggest it may be time to whittle down your guest list. However, my better judgment prevailed, so I called Rabbi Elliot Dorf, professor of philosophy with a specialization in ethics at American Jewish University, and a cooler head prevailed. He said, "You must distinguish between your enjoyment of the Seder and how you have been treated. If you are going to do this, do it for yourself. It doesn't help to hold a grudge. Rather than nurse a grudge which isn't healthy for you, speak up about your disappointment when you invite them and give them a chance to respond. Thank you again, Rabbi Dorf. Readers, what is your opinion about this?" Dear Abby, I am a 69-year-old father of a wonderful 26-year-old daughter, Robin. She is my ex's and my only child. She lives in Texas now. Her mother and I still live in Oregon. I visit Robin during the winter months, rent my own place, and enjoy the limited amount of time we spend together since she works. I have debated endlessly whether or not to establish more permanent residency in Texas. I would move there only because she lives there, not because I am crazy about Texas. I miss her immensely when I'm back in Oregon. Is it wise for parents to make a move based on where their child lives? My parents' generation didn't do that sort of thing. Contemplating it. Dear Contemplating, because you don't particularly like Texas, I am lukewarm about the idea of you relocating. Do not do it without having more than one frank conversation with your daughter about it and how it will affect her life. Is she married? Are there grandchildren involved? Do you plan to have other social contacts besides her? Have you thought about how you will develop a social life and blend into the community if you are there permanently? If your daughter will be your only source of companionship, entertainment, etc., it would not be fair to her. Keep in mind as well that 26-year-old Robin may relocate elsewhere if other opportunities present themselves.
Hello, this is Michael, continuing to read from the culture section of the Midland Reporter Telegram for Sunday, March 8th. Sustainable Gardening Includes Many Eco-Friendly Practices by Dean Fosdick. Sustainable is one of gardening's trendiest buzzwords, yet it carries a range of definitions. Just what does it mean in practical terms, and how important is it to the average gardener? Very important, according to a recent plant trends study by horticulturalists with the University of Florida Institute of Food and Agricultural Sciences, UFIFAS. It found strong interest in native plants, rewilding gardens, growing edibles, and going easy on wildlife, among other concerns. More and more people are supporting sustainability, where the social, environmental, and economic factors balance, said Mark Tansig, a horticulture agent with University of Florida, Food and Agricultural Sciences Extension. That means planting things that don't require as much water or fertilizer, using plants that resist disease and insects, choosing native plants and mixtures that attract wildlife. That not only saves you money, but they look good too, Tansig said. They're restorative to the environment. Sustainable isn't necessarily the same as organic, noted Erica Cherno, an Oregon State University Extension horticulturalist. Organic has become legally recognized, Cherno said. Sustainability is more of an open book, combining ecological, sociological, and economic factors. Ross Penhaligon, a horticulturalist emeritus with Oregon State University Extension, said sustainability requires that we all look at our garden and ask what we can do to reduce carbon imprint, reduce irrigation, and use less products. Some simple sustainable gardening goals, he noted in a fact sheet, include starting compost piles rather than throwing away yard debris. Composting keeps all the nutrients stored in yard debris in your garden on site and feeds the soil, he said. It also saves you money since buying compost isn't necessary. Shifting from standard sprinklers to drip irrigation or soaker hoses, you can reduce your water use by up to 80%, Penhaligon said. Also consider using drought-resistant plants to save water. Lessening pesticide use by planting large seedlings that withstand pests and diseases better than small ones. Growing your own food by saving seeds from some of your healthiest plants for use the following year. Fighting bugs with integrated pest management, which uses the least toxic methods, minimizing risks to humans, animals, pollinators, and other beneficial insects. If you must use a pesticide, use a low-toxicity one, Penhaligon said. Gardeners operate on a smaller scale than farmers, but still can have major impacts, Cherno said. They can do that by not over-fertilizing, by eliminating any spraying that isn't necessary, she said. Their size may be unlike farmers, but their goals are the same. Here's a column from Sunday's Odessa American. Free Tree Care Classes by Jeanette Kastanen. Tree care issues are the most common calls we get here at the Extension office. To better help with this, AgriLife Extension will be hosting free tree care classes once a month starting in March and ending in June. The classes are scheduled from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on the following dates at the Midland County AgriLife Extension Office, 22445 East Highway 80, Midland. April 14th, How to Fertilize and Water Trees with Jody Hughes, Certified Arborist. Registration deadline is April 10th. May 12th, How to Identify a Sick Tree and Determine if It is Safe with James Tuttle. Registration deadline is May 8th. June 9th, How to Prune Trees and Landscape with Them, with Jeff Floyd. Registration deadline is June 5th. Meal and refreshments will be provided. Hope you can join us and learn all there is to know about caring for your tree in this unique West Texas climate. To register or for more information, call the AgriLife office at 498-401 in Odessa or at 686-4700 in Midland. Jeanette Kastanen is a horticulturalist with the Texas AgriLife Extension Service. She can be reached at 686-4700. Also from the Odessa American Life and Time section, Master Gardeners, consider music to help foster plant growth, by Jesse Clark, Master Gardener Trainee. Over the last decade, there has been interesting research about the impact of sound waves on plant growth. Studies have shown that sound can stimulate plant growth on a cellular level. Ultrasound can help germinate seeds, and sound waves can increase the yield of crops like sweet pepper, cucumber, tomato, lettuce, spinach, cotton, rice, and wheat. It likely boosts the plant's immune system. Pests and diseases, including spider mites, aphids, gray mold, late blight, virus disease of tomatoes, and sheath blight of rice, all reduce with the presence of sound waves. What more recent studies seem to be interested in is the type of music. Do plants respond differently to various genres? One study found that plants exposed to classical music and rhythmic rock had more germinated seeds, were taller, and had more leaves than plants exposed to no music. Violin has been noted as a particular favorite. Plants respond well to devotional music. Traffic noises left plants in a stressed condition, as did heavy metal. Another study found that Indian classical music and chants, think yoga class, were superior to other genres. For my plants, I like to think they appreciate Strawberry Swing by Coldplay or Wildfire by John Mayer. This Sunday, while I was watering in the plant studio, they got to enjoy Holy Water by We the Kingdom. Johnny Swim, Alabama Shakes, and John Legend helped me power through Valentine's Day orders in my plant studio. And in hindsight, I imagine my plants felt as energized by that as I did. So what do we take from this? Plants are interacting with their environment in more ways than we expect. Growers often focus on the lighting, air circulation, fertilizing, watering, and keeping them away from other hazards like inclement weather or our well-meaning dog who buries her bone underneath it. However, we now know there are some additional ways we can show our plants some love. Next time you water your plants, consider turning on some of your favorite music. Your plants will enjoy it as much as you do. For more information, call the AgriLife office at 498-4071 in Odessa or 686-4700 in Midland. Early Spring Preparation for a Beautiful Summer Garden by Melinda Myers. As winter fades into spring, gardeners can't wait to get busy in the garden, pruning, cutting back perennials and ornamental grasses, and preparing the garden for spring planting are just few of the tasks. Keep yourself and the pollinators overwintering in your garden safe as you start the cleanup process. Always prune with a purpose. Start by removing any damaged and diseased stems from shrubs and roses. Watch for insects like swallowtail butterflies that overwinter in protective cocoons and the egg masses of some like the hairstreak butterflies. Prevent problems by destroying overwintering non-native pests like the gypsy moth. Search the internet and insect books for help identifying the good and bad guys you may find in your landscape. Additional pruning may be needed to manage the size and shape or encourage better flowering and bark color. Wait to prune spring flowering shrubs like lilacs and forsythia if you want maximum flowering. Prune these shrubs right after flowering before they set their floral buds for next spring. Keep yourself safe by wearing safety glasses and gloves. It's too easy to focus on the task and end up with a stick in the eye. Heavy-duty gloves protect and support your hands, allowing you to garden longer with less stress, scratches, and bruises. Consider synthetic leather gauntlet-style gloves like fox gloves, extra protection gloves, that protect hands and arms but are supple enough to allow you to work efficiently. The breathable fabric is durable, machine washable, and puncture resistant. Lightly rake any debris off the lawn and add it to the compost pile. Check for damage and lightly tamp any disturbed areas back in place. Reseed bare spots so grass, not weeds, fill in those spots. Brush leaves off the crowns of perennials, but leave the rest in place for insects that spend winter or summer in the leaf litter. Plus, the leaves help preserve moisture, suppress weeds, and improve the soil as they break down. Pull mulch away from tree trunks and shrub crowns that may have shifted over winter. Keeping mulch off the stems reduces the risk of future problems that can lead to decline and even death of the plants. leave perennials and grasses stand as long as possible, since many are homes to beneficial insects. Bundle grasses for easy cutting and removal. Once cut, loosely stack or stand perennial stems and grasses at the edge of the garden or natural spaces. This allows any insects still present to safely emerge when it's time to move to their summer homes. Plus, birds will appreciate the easy access to nesting material. Enjoy the changing of the seasons and the beauty of nature hidden among the plants in your garden. Protect yourself when preparing the garden for spring so you won't lose time recovering from injuries. And keeping the pollinators and other beneficial insects safe will improve your garden's health and productivity throughout the growing seasons. Melinda Myers has written numerous books, including Small Space Gardening. She hosts the Great Courses How to Grow Anything DVD series and the nationally syndicated Melinda's Garden Moment TV and radio program. Myers is a columnist and contributing editor for Birds and Blooms magazine and was commissioned by Fox Gloves for her expertise to write this article. And finally, here's an article from the culture section of the Midland Reporter-Telegram. Small Bites. Wendy's rolls out breakfast menu, Opal's Table to feature different wine dinners. By Rich Lopez and J.C. Lewis, Reporter-Telegram. Small Bites is back with your news on local restaurants and food trends. Got a pick or a tip? Email news@mrt.com. Early this month, Wendy's introduced its new breakfast menu on Monday and had a soft introduction last week. The Northside Wendy's off Loop 250 and Midland Drive is among those locations. Menu items include twists on Wendy's signature items as well as their take on usual breakfast fare. People deserve a delicious, affordable, and higher quality breakfast than what they're currently getting. So that's exactly what we're going to serve when Wendy's launches breakfast nationally on March 2nd. Kurt Kane, President, U.S. and Chief Commercial Officer of Wendy's, said in a press release, "Our crew will be hand-cracking fresh eggs on all our breakfast sandwiches and leaning into the quality ingredients that have long set Wendy's apart from the competition. We've crafted unique sandwiches that will leave you craving another, like the Breakfast Baconator, which features a fresh cracked egg, signature sausage patty, and six strips of applewood smoked bacon." Wendy's here hosted a preview of its new breakfast with samples of its new sandwiches, sides, and sweeter items. Among its items that have not been seen at its competitors, such as McDonald's or Burger King, include the maple bacon chicken croissant sandwich and its egg and Swiss croissant sandwich with sausage or bacon. With its melted Swiss cheese, the latter tastes similarly to a typical Eggs Benedict. Biscuit items don't vary from much of the other fast food menus, but its honey butter chicken biscuit does give Whataburger some competition. The honey butter gives a good balance with the flakiness of the biscuit, and it was a favorite of photographer J.C. Lewis. Among its classic sandwiches, the Breakfast Baconator may be the restaurant's signature item on the breakfast menu. Grilled sausage, American cheese, applewood smoked bacon with a grade A egg, all covered in Swiss cheese sauce. Wendy's also takes on the Italian classic affogato drink with their vanilla or chocolate frosticino. While the frosticino might not fool an Italian into thinking it was affogato, it does provide a cool and sweet pick-me-up to start the morning. While most fast food chains will feature hash browns as their side potato, Wendy's has made their side seasoned breakfast potatoes, which are wedge-cut, skin-on potatoes cooked with black pepper and garlic powder. The sausage gravy and biscuit sides pair well with the seasoned potatoes for dipping purposes. The oatmeal bar tastes like an oatmeal cookie right out of the oven, yet healthier. The drive-thru opens 6:30 a.m. and the lobby opens to serve at 9 a.m. On the menu, Opal's Table will be hosting special wine dinners starting March 26th. The Prisoner Wine Dinner will feature the Prisoner Wines. Wines of Australia will be April 23rd. Ravana Wine Dinner will be May 14th. The Siamis Wine Dinner will be June 11th. The Wines of Italy and Greece Dinner will be July 23rd. The dinners begin at 7 p.m. Tickets are $90 with wine pairings or $45 without, and can be purchased at opalstable.com/events. Thank you for joining us for this week's readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org. Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, Far West Texas News, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 8.
A health threat anywhere is a health threat everywhere. I'm Dr. Phil. A new coronavirus outbreak called COVID-19 started in China and is spreading to many countries, including the U.S. It's critical to get the facts about how to protect our friends and loved ones. While CDC is working with states and communities to stop the spread of the virus, health workers and emergency response efforts need our support. The CDC Foundation, a nonprofit organization, is focusing on immediate and critical needs that help protect our communities here at home and those around the world. We can all play a role in stopping this deadly virus. Get updates, learn how to protect your friends and family, and find out how to help. Go to cdcfoundation.org. That's cdcfoundation.org. Together, our impact is greater.
This has been a public service announcement brought to you by the CDC Foundation.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland, Odessa area. It's 58 and cloudy. Tonight, thunderstorms with a low in the low 50s. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-70s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 50s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 7 a.m.
Welcome to this week's edition of Far West Texas. Readings from the Big Bend Sentinel, the Monahans News, the Alpine Avalanche, and the Fort Stockton Pioneer. Read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Monahans News for Thursday, February 27th, 2020. Front page. Sheriff candidates answer cues about chief deputy, sand haulers, officer misconduct. By Christy Sullivan, staff writer. The three candidates for Ward County Sheriff, Jaime Ibarra, Joe Collazo, and Farin Valle, all participated in a candidate forum on Friday, January 21st, at the Ward County Event Center. After a brief introduction by all attendees, moderator and Monahans Chief of Police, Billy Riley, explained the candidates would each have 3 minutes to respond to 5 of 9 prepared questions. At the end of the forum, audience questions were answered. The candidates were also given a chance to rebut an opponent's answers. The last question of the night was, according to Riley, the most asked question coming from the audience. If elected, who would you use as a chief deputy? Candidate Valle said, I'm pretty sure everyone knows who I would pick as a chief deputy. It is obvious it would be Michael Franco. He is my captain right now, my second in command, and my right-hand man.
Franco is an individual I depend on a lot, no matter what the issue is.